I've always wished that I had kind of control of the school calendar, because I do that. I mean, they let them off, you know, for New Year's Eve parties and stuff. I'd say, we're off for a whole week, gang. We're going to celebrate that Jesus is Lord for a whole week long. And I encourage you, when you see people, when you talk about things in the days ahead, when you see somebody in the street or in the workplace, wherever it happens to be, you know, when you go into work there, say, Happy New Year! And they're going to say, I think you got the wrong date. You know, it's not December 31st. It's not January 1st. I mean, what is happening with you? And you kind of go, well, I got to tell you the truth. I'm operating on a different calendar. I've got a different clock ticking in my soul, huh? So you tell people that and explain to them the church here. Because out of all the calendars that govern our lives, it's kind of nice when you think about it. That Advent one, we start waiting for the coming of the birth of our King. And then at the very end of the year, we celebrate His coronation. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, Jesus remembers, and He doesn't have to use a planner or a calendar. He doesn't have to have a smartphone that beeps Him and stuff, huh? Jesus remembers to forget your sins, to remember your sins no more. Jesus intentionally remembers to forget, and in the process gives to you and me absolute absolution. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, through that atoning sacrifice or the blood of the cross, He has brought reconciliation. Why? Because He's got first place in everything. He's number one when it comes to remembering. First place. He's the glue, Paul says to the Colossians, that the adhesive. He's the epoxy of everlasting life. He holds everything together. He's the firstborn of creation, which means that everything was brought in through Him, by Him, for Him. Doesn't surprise us, because He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus gets first place in everything. Whether we recognize it or whether we acknowledge it, Paul says He has preeminence. Say that, preeminence. That's a big word, isn't it? I mean, I get all kind of, you know, the spit comes out, you know, you get tongue-tied. Preeminence, huh? It means first place in everything. Not just some things, not just most things, but everything. Now, right away, you know, that's like a red flag. We've got problems, right? And not just in River City. We've got problems because we want to put Jesus, you know, maybe my co-pilot. Or in the back seat. Or in the trunk with the spare tire. But first place in everything, behind the driver's wheel, always, the first thing that we begin the day with, end the day with, and throughout the day with, Jesus? That's a tough sell in our world today. If you read, my wife came in, she said, Dave, you say that they've got another article in there from a pastor? He said, this is kind of strange. I mean, twice in the same month? I mean, what's going on here? And they put my article in there. You've read it already about DMC squared. I mean, that's not going to make everybody happy, folks. I'm sorry, it's not. I mean, a lot of people in the medical community are going to say, you know what, who does this guy think he is? He's brand new coming here from Tacoma, and he's telling us that this is all about Christ-centered community? That's not the destination here that we want to do. It's all about Mayo, huh? And Mayo's good, don't get me wrong. But it's not Christ. Mayo isn't Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's number one. And there's going to be other people from other faith communities whom I honor and respect dearly who are going to read that article and they're going to say, who does this guy think he is? Doesn't he know that we're all Unitarian Universalists now? I mean, what's this about this Christ-centered community? I mean, God as you understand Him or her. Huh? You see, it's a tough sell on this Christ the King Sunday or the eve of it for us to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that He rules, that He reigns? I mean, second place, third place, you know, somewhere down the line, but first place always in everything? That could be the death of us and the resurrection of us. Number one, when it comes to remembering Jesus Christ, he doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget the promises that he makes. I read a story this past week by a pastor. She was doing visits in a hospital. She was visiting Anna. Anna is an elderly woman, used to be a kindergarten teacher in the school system. And Anna is getting older. She's in her late 80s, and her health isn't the best. In fact, she's been hospitalized 3 times in the last 2 months. And so her pastor went to see her. And then her pastor in her blog was telling me about this visit she had with Anna. She said, I went in, I was visiting with Anna, and she was in so much pain, very full of discomfort. And you know, after a while with a conversation, it kind of tails off. And there had been this kind of tailing off silence. And then all of a sudden, in comes a gal in her mid to late 40s with a cart and a mop and stuff. And she comes in and she says, hi, Anna. And then she goes, she's mopping in the back corner and stuff. And she said, Anna looks at me and she says, loud enough to make sure that this worker can hear, I'm so proud of the kids that I had when I taught them in kindergarten. And then when this housekeeper had finished in that hospital room scrubbing the floors, before she pushed her cart out, she came over and bent down as Anna was laying in the bed and gave her a kiss on the forehead and said, I'll see you, Anna. And this pastor said, I got tears in my eyes watching that. She said, that's what the power of remembrance is. Here was a kindergarten teacher that hadn't forgotten one of her students from some 40 years earlier. And remembering her put a lift in her step as she pushed the cart out, because she knew that a teacher that she had had hadn't forgotten her and was proud of her in her servant work. And here was Anna, anointed with the love of Christ, the kiss of one of her students 40 plus years earlier in her kindergarten class. The power and the transformation that comes with remembering. The Lord is our righteousness. Our first lesson for tonight. What does it mean to be number one? Whether you're a parent, a pastor, a politician, a CEO, it's the posture of service, of denying the self, of honoring the Savior, of serving the neighbor. Number one, Jesus has first place in everything. He who was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Strange, don't you think, that we come to the end of a church year, we get ready to bring in a new year, and you know, all the commercialization of Christmas, and we think, you know, I mean, even if we're not into royalty, we know about Prince William and his wife and that little baby boy that they've had, right? You know? Royalty, I mean, we know where this stuff happens. When royalty gets married, when royalty is born, when royalty is crowned, you're talking about pomp and circumstance. Well, we know something is amiss. Because when Jesus, who is the King of the Jews, indeed the Savior of the world, is born, you remember? In a manger? A cattle stall? What? Wrapped in swaddling cloths? A blanket, a pillow? His mattress? Some straw or hay? So I suppose it doesn't surprise us when we get to the end of the church year and we see that the coronation, the crowning, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. The coronation takes place in a garbage dump outside the city of Jerusalem, Golgotha, on a cross. First place in everything. The firstborn of creation, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the epoxy of everlasting life. He holds everything together. He's the center. So he can't have second place or third place or some other place in our lives. That's not the gospel. And if he has any other place but first place in our lives, then we don't know redemption or salvation. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Number one, huh? You ever try to be number one? Ever aspire to be number one? First place important to you? Oh, you know the stories, right? We're pretty proud of it. I mean, think about it with sports. If you're number one in sports, it probably means that you'll get, maybe a scholarship to a college. Maybe a lucrative contract someday if you're really lucky or really good. I mean, really top dog, huh? Big G's? Big Gona? You might get a trophy or your name on a plaque that goes into the high school trophy case. What about if you're number one in the business field? Pretty impressive, right? I mean, number one in sales? Probably get a promotion? Increase in salary? Work your way up the ladder? What about number one academically? Well, then they come after you, huh? First place? First in your class? Right? Remember how they used to have this? When I was living in Minnesota before I went to Tacoma, they used to have on the news, the best in the class this year? In the paper? I mean, this is impressive stuff. You see why people want to be number one? You see why people aspire to be in first place? I told a young kid once, he came in second place. I said, well, I'm really proud of you. He looked at me and he said, Pastor Dave, you know what second place is? First place on the list of losers. I was trying to compliment them. But it wasn't number one. What people don't realize is once you get into first place, guess what? It's a black hole. There's always going to be somebody clawing to dethrone you. I mean, once we start to think that that's what it really is all about, me being number one, me having first place in everything in my little world that I try to create, where I become the center of my universe, yeah. We've got three kids. They're all married. We got some grandkids. I mean, we're proud of them, you know. Our firstborn and then Rachel, our thirdborn, first in the high school graduating class. Impressive, huh? Well, my son Joshua, when he went to Gustavus College, the first day of freshman orientation stuff, the parents were all gathered there. The president of Gustavus Adolphus University, he gets up and he says, do you know that you are sitting right here? This is an elite group. He said, this incoming freshman class has the highest GPA in the history of this school. 24% of you graduated from high school with a 4.0 and above. Suddenly my son realized, first place, what in the world does it mean? Small fish in a very big pond, huh? Number one, first place. My wife went and, you know, you've got only 2 months according to the law. We must have broke the law, but you've got only 2 months to get your license, Minnesota license. That's the law. I mean, I learned that when I studied the book, you know. And if you change your name, you've got 30 days. You've got 1 month, okay? And if it's a commercial driver's license, you've only got 30 days. You don't have the 2 months, okay? I mean, I know this stuff. My wife, she went and passed and she said, Dave, you need to do this because if we don't have our Minnesota driver's license, we also will lose about $200-$300 on a homestead credit. And that's money, you know. And so Monday, my day off, I'm spending the time then reading through that stuff online because they won't give you the books anymore. So I'm reading all the stuff. My wife said, oh, just go and do it cold turkey. I said, it's not Thanksgiving yet, right? Okay, I said, and I read on the line. You know what it says? I mean, seriously, I'm not kidding you on this. Two out of three people that do it cold turkey fail it because they think they know more than what they do, right? I said, you know what this says here? So I did 9 practice tests, and I read the whole booklet. And out of those 9 practice tests, I failed 2 of them. I passed 7 of them. I said, this is all the luck of the draw. I said, some of these questions, I said, I read all this stuff. I said, this is ridiculous, some of these questions. But I said, you know what? I've done everything I can, right? So I go down there. I sit in front of this thing, and my hearing aids are kind of buzzing, you know, because they make you wear this contraption on your head, too. And I'm sitting right there, and I said, okay. I just said, Lord, I'm just giving this all to you. You know what? There comes a time when you just got to surrender, even if it's as simple as a Minnesota driver's license, huh? And you keep doing the thing, you know, one after another after another. The sample tests are 25, but this one's supposed to be 35. But when I got to 32, it says, okay, 32 out of 32, you're done, 100%. Whoa, number one! You're impressed, aren't you? My wife wasn't impressed. She said, big deal. Yeah. You see, the trouble is once you get there, you think you can stay there? We only get there by the grace of God. And we only, well, we can't stay there because Jesus has first place in everything. And that's the kind of noise that God wants us to make as we move from an old year to a new year. Whether it's Advent 1 to Christ the King Sunday or the school calendar or the sports calendar or the secular calendar, it's for us to make the noise so that the world knows that I'm not number one. I'm not number one. And neither are you. And what matters the most in our lives and in our world is that Jesus is Lord and that we seek to honor Him and serve Him. When I was at First Lutheran in Little Falls, we said, okay, our name is First, so what does it mean to be first? So we went to the Bible, and Jesus says, the Gentiles love to lord it over one another. They all want to be first. He said that when James and John wanted the two seats of honor, one on the left and one on the right, and he said, those seats are already spoken for, right? Golgotha, a thief. It's not mine to do that. Can you drink my cup? Can you be baptized with my baptism, he said? And all the disciples, oh my goodness, they're up in arms now, right? They're jostling for position because being number one or sitting on the left hand and the right hand and those seats of honor and stuff, it means so much. Jesus says, that's the game that the Gentiles play. About who's the big cheese and who's more important and who has priority and all this kind of stuff. It's the game of the world. It's not the way the kingdom works. In the kingdom of God, if you're my disciple, the one who's the greatest is the one who's last. And the one who is first is the one who is servant of all. So we had this big sign as you come into the parking lot there at First Lutheran, Little Falls, Minnesota. It says, First Lutheran Church. You can't miss it. I mean, it's huge. Two motorcycle guys come in one day. They're asking for directions. They're trying to find the fairgrounds because that's where there's a Christian Motorcycles Association. And there's thousands of them that are going to meet there. And I'm giving them directions and stuff. And he said, what's the name of this place? I thought, wait a minute, you just came into the parking lot? You didn't see our sign? I said, it's First Lutheran. He says, one of the guys looks at me and says, so it's like they're a second Lutheran or a third Lutheran in town? And I started laughing. I said, no. I said, we're trying to be first servants of all. So he looks at me and he says, so how's that working for you guys? First servants of all. How's that working for you? I said, well, you know, it's not easy being first. To put Jesus first when the me, myself, and I want to keep asserting themselves and taking over the throne. Not easy. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be in your own family. It can be in a church community. It can be in the workplace. It's not easy not to be in charge, huh? To call the shots? To be the boss? I mean, we're always doing that because we're in bondage to sin and we can't free ourselves. It's a black hole, this aspiration to be first. I taught a scout class called God and Family. And when I would teach the class, I would always do one thing with the kids. I would put up on the board a picture of my watch and my billfold, you know, or money. Or otherwise, I'd take my watch off or I'd take my billfold out and I would say, okay, Colossians 1:18 says Jesus has first place in everything. You know, and I'd say that every week when I 6 weeks class with the kids. Jesus has first place in everything. Jesus has first place in everything, right? And I'd say, I want to make sure they didn't miss that. I mean, they might have missed a whole bunch of other stuff from the class, but I wanted to make sure they understood Colossians 1:18. Jesus is numero uno, always. And then I'd say, what's with the watch and what's with the billfold? And, you know, first place is important to kids, too, not just adults. And the kid said, well, it's about what you do with your time. It's about what you do with your money. I said, your time? Your money? They said, well, then they kind of knew the answer, right? God's time? God's money? Kids are great. I love teaching kids. They get it. And I said, yeah, somebody can say, you're the most important person in my life. Huh? Right? How are you going to know if that's true or not? You can always tell by where a person spends their money and where they spend their time. That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. That's where credibility happens or doesn't happen. And these little kids in that God and family class, they learned that. First place in everything, where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money if it's all a gift from God? And if we're all going to end because we're terminal, except for the grace of God, the justifying, reconciling act of Jesus that saves us from our sins and gives us forgiveness. And so it's on the cross. It's on the cross that Jesus is hanging between two thieves. And as the religious leaders and the soldiers and even one of the thieves mock him and deride him, save yourself, save yourself, save yourself if you're the king. Because that's what kings do, right? They save themselves. But Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Remember? Jesus is number one when it comes to remembering our sins no more. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then there's the repentant thief. Doesn't surprise us because Luke's gospel ends, the book of Acts begins with, go into all the world preaching the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's thinking maybe just cognitive activity, remember me? And Jesus gives them way more. The restoration, the changing of everything. Paradise reclaimed. Today. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So, want to be first? Want to be first? First place. God has it. And only those who die and rise with Jesus get it. Get it? Happy New Year. Amen.